Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
From the world's first officially recognised sim racing group, it's the Tora Radio Show.
Hello everybody and Happy New Year, and welcome to the first episode of a new season of the Tora Radio Show here on radiolemans.com. I'm Matt Hunter, and battening down the hatches, I don't know if he's had any dicey weather, Mr. Ben Williams, hello.
Hello Matt, how are you doing?
Damp. It's wet and horrible over here. How's the snow?
Most of my snow is mostly melted at this point.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks ago now. Last week, yeah. It went from a day that was 2 degrees to 30 degrees to about 3 inches of snow, then to 50 degrees, and then we're back down to around, 30, 40. So it literally cannot make up its mind where it wants to sit. Thus is Pennsylvania, though.
Bit like your president. Swiftly on. Had to get that one in there. This is, of course, the Tora Radio Show, your home for esports racing activities here on RadioLeMans.com. If you want to get in touch with us throughout the course of the show, you can do so by getting us on Twitter @TheReal_Tora using the hashtag TRS throughout the course of the next hour. There will be a special segment at the end, the last 15 minutes, pretty much dedicated to Lewis Sattley. I would crack a joke about it, but we are honouring the loss of Dan Gurney, who died just last week. So Lewis will be doing a big segment on that later on. So you're stuck with just the two of us for the first 45 minutes. Aren't you lucky?
Aren't you so lucky?
Well, let's get the admin over with, of course. Ben, how was your Christmas? Did you have a nice one? Did Santa empty his sack accordingly under your tree?
I'm going to let that one slide. yes, Santa Claus did bring me a gift. He brought me a lovely Thrustmaster TH8 shifter.
Very nice.
Which I've used somewhat. I'm still getting used to the whole heel-toe thing, but I'm really looking forward to using the wheel a lot more in the 2018 season, especially when TASCAR gets to Daytona in a couple weeks' time.
Excellent. Little plug there for Jordan. You're very welcome. Now sponsored by the checkeredflag.com, of course.
Yes. Anyway, what about you, Matthew?
Surprisingly, not a lot of motorsporty stuff, actually.
Hmm.
The SRO book that I so beautifully plugged during the Christmas special I received, the British Touring Car Review, which is an annual gift now. Yeah, that was about it, actually. Mm-hmm. I had a surprisingly unracing Christmas. Most of it was Marvel-y and Warhammer-y. Oh, and rugby-y. Lots of rugby stuff. So if anyone sees me this year, yes, I'm fat, but it is for a cause now, because it is to fell other man mountains. It's important not to be weedy.
Oh man.
Yes. but yes, other than that, fabulous. Let's get to some news, because there actually is some.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last week.
Yeah.
Just after the Autosport show, we were very, very proud to announce a partnership with the LMP3 Cup, which operates here in the UK. It's only a year old. They ran last year, officially endorsed by the ACO. Alistair McKing and Colin Noble took the title for Ecuriakos Nielsen Racing in a Ligier JSP3 last year. We will be aping the real championship somewhat, albeit earlier this year. Some of the details we gave out during the Christmas show, but just to reiterate, the calendar is as follows. 2 rounds per meeting starting on February the 6th, so not too long now. So if you want to get involved, please do so. starting on February 6th, Donington National, followed by Brands Hatch GP, Spa-Francorchamps, the Snetterton 300 circuit, back to Donington on the GP loop, and then closing out the season at Silverstone on the Grand Prix circuit on March the 13th. Very, very cool. Indeed, of course, that's taking place on Project Cars 2 for Xbox One, just to be absolutely clear as to what it is. And there is some pretty cool prizes coming up. I think NMP3 are sorting out some pretty cool prizes for the champion of that series. So very much very, very pleased to bring another fantastic British series to Tora and to the esports racing community. Possibly not the last one you're going to hear about from us this year. Yes. So do stay tuned. Of course, we've already announced the British GT Championship will be returning later in the year, I think around April time.
April 5th?
That's a bit too
April 8th. I was close.
Yeah, pretty close.
I'm still far off. Where is it?
It's April. Oh, goodness me, dear listener, I do apologize. He's rusty. It's April the 15th.
Yes,
which is two weeks after the opening rounds at Orton Park, which is the Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm. I just can't read a calendar.
Yes, so fantastic news to have LMP3 Cup on board with us. Really, really looking forward to having that. Already some good signups coming up for that already. Plenty of time to still get involved before the first round, as we say, on February the 6th. Ben, as you can probably tell, dear listener, there has actually an awful lot of racing going on at the moment. This is our quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
Before all manner of things break loose and yes. we lose all sense of time and
yes, we understanding. We have three series starting next month.
The only difference between us and our very good friends at RadioLeMond.com is the fact that we don't use planes or cars or anything like that. We just get hit around the head repeatedly with a rolled up newspaper for constantly hogging the television. That might just be me. Anyway, we must talk about the latest pack to come from Turn 10 for Forza Motorsport 7. We've been a bit quiet on packs, but we've been a bit reserved, shall we say, on packs with them lately.
Well, I wouldn't say reserved. Let's go with quietly.
I would say politically correct.
That would work, yeah.
Yes.
Can I ask
an initial question? Because I'm going to go with this isn't an international brand. Is Totino's?
Totino's is an American snack-making, I guess, company that they probably produce, like, bite-sized pizza-flavored fried dough things that freeze and heat up in the microwave.
Okay, so it's like a Hot Pocket, but less dangerous, I'm assuming, or a bit more
tasty. It's a small Hot Pocket, yeah, basically.
Literally, the only reason I know what a Hot Pocket is because of Jim Gaffigan, so...
Hot Pockets!
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so we have a new pack of cars. Actually, we have two, technically.
Technically, we have two.
Two packs of cars. Let's get the smaller one over and done with first, because with the latest update... to the game, they gave us the 2019 Hyundai Veloster N and also the Veloster Turbo N, both of which were announced recently for real life, not coming out for a couple of years. Actually, don't even think it's coming out in Europe, which is a bit peculiar. For those who might not remember, the Veloster is the quirky car from Hyundai, whereby it has two doors on one side and one door on the other. Yeah, that's pretty much my reaction. But that is basically...
I'm sorry, just the reflection in your voice. It's just...
That is basically it.
Oh, it's got two doors on one side. Oh!
But it's like, what are you going to do? Walk up to the car, that's not my car, I have more doors than that. Yeah, on the other side, there it is. It's fine.
No, I'm picturing someone walking up, not paying attention, like playing on their phone, answering a text message, and they go and reach for the door handle, and it's just tonk, door. And they realize, yeah, oh, I'm on the wrong side.
Really, you can be really unfair to potential passengers and pull up and go, yeah, no, hop in the back. Well, how? I can't find this. I can't do this.
I can't get in the car.
And you laugh at them evilly and drive away. I was actually a bit, I have to say, I was a big fan of the original Veloster. I thought it was a very cool and quirky car and looked very interesting.
Yeah, and typical viewers will probably know my opinion on it, if they know anything about me.
I'm going to go with you don't like it.
I'm not a fan, no.
Fair enough.
It's
could be worse.
It doesn't have enough cylinders. This is the Mike Skinner portion of this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not big enough, all right? There's not enough horsepower. It's just slow.
There is also...
I'm ignoring that.
There is also the... Just thinking back to quirky cars that you could get confused with, I want to say the Peugeot 308 GTI, which comes in two-tone, front to rear, so it looks like the world's worst cut and shut. One version in particular that I saw was sort of a metallic navy blue at the front and matte black at the back. Anyway, there's a car back to talk about of actual cars. And the first one, dear listener, got me very excited.
Well,
it got us all very excited.
Let's be honest,
because it's actually a racing car. Actually a racing car appearing in a motorsport car pack.
No, you have not fallen down the rabbit hole. This is still Forza Motorsports we are talking about.
And it's a good one, too.
It is a very good one.
The number 24 BMW Team RLL M6 GTLM. Arrives in Forza Motorsport 7 just as it's about to be replaced by the M8.
Because Forza.
Because I'm still hoping to the Lord of High Heaven for pure irony that we finally get the Vantage GTE and it's the one that won Le Mans last year as we're about to produce a new model entirely. Very, very good addition and massive, massive kudos to the guys who worked the BAP process. Behind the scenes here at Tora for getting it balanced literally 2 days before the start of the 24 hours of Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I don't think we had too many grumbles about it. So that's
very
positive.
Both teams that drove the M6 in the race were very happy with their selection.
As long as the opposition were also very happy with their selection. That's the main thing is... The wonders of hindsight. Mm-hmm. The main thing was that the BMW didn't suddenly win the race by 4,500 laps. That's kind of where I'm going with that. Also, another very cool addition to the game. I want to say, because I saw some posts about this, I don't think this has been in Forza. And I don't think it's been in a console game since something like Gran Turismo 2 or 3, the 1997 Lotus Lease GT1, which rose to fame during the BPR Global GT Series, one of basically the series that got me into sports car racing. It's a very cool thing. I'm actually driven. Have you driven it yet?
Well, let me put it this way. You don't drive this car. You hang on for dear life. It is fast, man. It just takes off, and it's like, oh, okay, we're racing now. I think I left my teeth back there somewhere.
This is the sort of car that makes you smile the same way that when I drove the Peugeot Esperant in Project Cars 2 made me smile.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, actually, similar sort of age group, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's think about this car for a second. It's a 3.5 liter twin turbo V8.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that a lot.
That weighs the same as one of my socks.
It's pretty much.
That is a...
It's
and some
quick.
Some teams, if I remember correctly, some teams put a 6 liter Chevrolet V8 in that car.
Yeah.
Which is even more ridiculous. Would that be where the Hennessy Venom comes from?
You know, probably, honestly. It's a very similar body style.
I don't remember least,
which engine the Hennessy Venom has in it right now. So,
no, but it just me, the it's only because I'm pretty kind of sure that Hennessy seems to use stretched lotuses for their.
Mm-hmm.
Answers on Twitter. If you know where Hennessy gets their engines from, do let us know at @real_Tora.
Oh, yep.
It's be a leaderboard car before we know it.
Yes. And just as a quick answer, it is the 7.0-liter twin-turbo LS78. So it's the same basic Chevy, just bigger.
I love the fact in the blurb for this car, they're sort of like, uh-huh. somebody knows what Lotus stands for. Sadly, reliability proved to be a problem. Lots of trouble, usually serious. Yes.
Shall we move on?
The third of the race cars in this, and what really annoyed me was a lot of the feedback I saw when the pack was launched was, oh, there's only two race cars in it. So, well, actually, if you look back in some older history books, there's actually three race cars in it. The 1967 Nissan R382. It's a beautiful thing. I haven't really driven much more than the BMW in this pack, so I'm relying on you for quality feedback. But it's a lovely, lovely car.
It is very lovely. I actually haven't gotten a chance to drive this one yet, mainly because last week was just a blur of Daytona preparation for me and balancing the M6, so I didn't really get to drive every single one of these cars, but this one I'm very excited for. It's like late 60s Nissan. If it like the 240Z or any like the 510, if any of the other late 60s Nissans I've driven, or Datsuns, what have you, any indication, I'm probably going to enjoy this a lot.
And of course it was made by the motor company formerly known as Prince.
Just no. Just no, Matthew.
But it was. Before it merged with Nissan in 1966, Prince Motor Company developed the R380. So there. Questions on the postcard. Have we got the Porsche 904 in Forza?
I don't think
so. Because if we have, then we have a natural sort of racing partner to go with this particular vehicle.
Mm-hmm. No, we did not have this.
I had to look at
the picture. No, we do not have this, I believe.
Well,
I definitely remember having this.
But yes, anyway, very good, sir. Very good. Interesting. I mean, it's January now. I'm trying to rack my brain, which is very difficult after Christmas. When did we have the first new track in Forza 6? Can you remember?
It was towards the beginning of the year, like February or March or somewhere around in there, I believe.
Okay. I'm just sort of thinking,
it would have been the Porsche pack.
Also, actually, that does raise just a point that I've just noted in my mind, something that we were talking about on our lovely Discord channel that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you noticed, Ben, as I did, that there have been some amendments to some circuits recently.
There have been.
Daytona seems to have picked up some new bits, and also, I mean, these are literally the only, well, they're not the only two, so the two circuits that things jumped out at me the most.
Mm-hmm.
Le Mans has suddenly grown the Porsche Center that
interesting
was recently built. So that was quite a thing to notice. I actually crashed my car. I was racing on the Bugatti circuit with some public lobby people, and
try not to say it with like, such disdain.
I was like, "Ooh, Porsche Experience Center. Oh God, there's a wall." Yeah. Anyway, to the pack.
We should go back to the pack.
Listen, if you've noticed any additions to any circuits other than the two we've just mentioned, let us know, because I'd be interested to know. I know Silverstone still hasn't developed the ITC yet, which it does need to have. I think it's the ITC. That might be something from my work. Anyway,
that might.
the university building on the National Pit Straight.
Mm-hmm.
Also added, I think this is going to be one of those fun cards that gets used in Cat and Mouse, but actually it has a certain element of rose-tinted spectacles for me. There's the 1970 Citroen 2CV, which was my mum's first car.
Mm-hmm. Also otherwise known as Deux Chevaux.
It's a lovely thing.
It is a slow thing.
Yes, I mean, you're not going to do the Nürburgring in it, that's for certain, but it's fun. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, you can literally take this car around Maple Valley without using the brakes. You don't have to. You have to lift, but you don't need to touch the brakes. The brakes are completely redundant because this thing only has 33 horsepower.
but the whole point of the Citroen 2 CV is its simplicity. It's simplicity to fix. Just the simplicity of the whole entire thing.
There's always that famous benchmark about it has to be able to carry a basket full of eggs across a plowed field,
which would pass for French roads in the early 1970s, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Sorry for any French listeners, which now passes for most 21st century British roads. Just to balance that argument out somewhat. Moving on, another car that got added into this one, the 1968 Subaru 360, a car I literally know nothing about. It kind of reminded me of the BMW iSetta, the little...
Yeah, it's kind of that same, compact, tiny, beady little car market, except this one has proper four wheels, not the iSetta, which only has three.
Essentially, this is also a car that is so small I would be wearing it as a shoe.
Its motor is not measured in liters, it's measured in cc's. So what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm. Two-stroke. Two-stroke.
356 cc's.
I love that. We utilize the innovative Subaru-matic system. The mix, the fuel, and oil automatically.
All right, Clarkson.
Shush. That's the sort of thing that Lewis would find amazingly interesting.
Mm-hmm. That is actually really interesting, not gonna lie. And of course, because I saw this on, I believe it was our own Phil Reed's game captures, you can build this thing up to ridiculous levels in Forza 7, and you can literally go on the front straight of Sebring, you can go from about 12th to third before the first corner.
Excellent.
It's that quick in a straight line. And there were things like Ferrari Testarossas. There was a couple Vipers that I saw him blasting past. So it wasn't exactly like he was racing stock ones. There were actual proper sport cars out there on the track too. And went...
Well, basically, the car weighs slightly more than the driver would. So.
It weighs slightly less than probably that Lotus we were looking at earlier. Just slightly.
Coming back to some proper engineering.
Mm-hmm.
The other car from the 60s is the Volkswagen Type 3 1600L,
mm-hmm.
a car I know literally nothing about.
It's not nearly as famous as the Beetle or the VW bus. Mm-hmm. It's like the redheaded stepchild, I guess you can kind of say.
The Porsche 911 Turbo S Leichtbau, which I believe translates to lightweight build. Very pretty.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, it's a.
It's
a 90s Porsche 911.
I almost confused it for the Yellow Bird, but it's not. Obviously,
it's not. The Yellow Bird is based on this car, isn't it?
964. Yes, I believe it is.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure someone with greater Porsche knowledge, of which there is a lot of people, will correct me. But I'm pretty certain it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. I'm looking forward to driving that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. This one, this particular one, has nearly 400. Pounds less than the standard Turbo S and has about 20% more horsepower. So, again, this is the one that I have not got to drive yet, but I suspect it'd be quite quick. It is a Porsche 911, after all.
That's a Kevlar roof. Well, sorry, well, with Kevlar hood, aluminium doors, and as was the trend in the 90s, charging you an awful lot more for taking most of the stuff out.
That's a trend of the 90s? That's still a trend.
You say that, but actually, car, you know, you think some of the really cool sporty cars, like the Huracan Performante, has got all the mod cons, yet is still a ridiculously light car. Because the whole entire car is made of light stuff rather than just bits of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just lowering the center of gravity, you're basically taking everything out that would weigh a lot. I'm not an engineer, does it show?
Slightly.
My apologies.
I'm kind of right there with you anyway, so.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, so all in all, actually, I mean, again, a lot of people sort of went, ooh, this is not a great grab pack. I actually think it's a pretty good pack. There's at least 4-5 usable cars in there.
Mm-hmm.
The BMW is obviously the standout for us, and in fact is now race proven for 24 mm-hmm. hours straight away out the box. The only thing that would have been nice would have been if it had an addition in the garage whereby you could have the endurance light set added, because as it stands, the model has blanking panels in the front air dam,
mm-hmm.
where there should be an endurance light pack. But apart from that, it's very, very cool. And I would also expect this to appear in the British GT as well.
Nudge.
Mm. And hopefully some other things too, but we don't know yet. So let's talk about... There is a little bit of other news, actually, isn't there? Mm-hmm. That isn't even console-based, actually. Mm-hmm. For the PC people, iRacing is looking to bring single-player AI to its title at some stage this year. That's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I feel about that, though, because part of iRacing's biggest marketing things is that there's always someone to race against. There's races running around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm. So that's kind of one of their major marketing things. Why would they add something that kind of makes that redundant?
Yeah.
At least in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who doesn't do much in the way of a single player campaign anymore,
mm-hmm.
I think it'd be nice if you want to sort of get to grips with iRacing, but you don't want to jump straight into multiplayer
and you want to
sort of just get to know
how
the game works, because it is very different to pretty much anything else you're mm-hmm. likely to have utilized before.
Mm-hmm.
But I completely see your point.
Mm-hmm. And this is also coming from my experience with other like sim racing AIs and other sim racing single player campaigns. Project Cars 2 is probably the better one of the ones that are available. Like the Forza ones are kind of stale because it's basically the same thing every time.
Mm.
Even though it like switches up cars and different locations, it's still kind of the same location, still kind of the same relative program, just finish first and you'll get all the prize money, that kind of thing. When they do roll this out, I'm interested in to see the way that they actually do this. Is it going to be like a tier type of system like Project Cars 2 has, where you get into more, like, you have to start in the Mazda, then you move up to something a little faster, and then something a little faster, and eventually you end up with the GT cars and the F1 car, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Indeed. Another new game that's, that's coming in the next couple of months. This is niche, but I think it's pretty cool. Clyton Racing is bringing a new Isle of Man TT game to consoles and PC, I believe in March. It's been delayed slightly. But that's coming in March. That's in partnership with Big Ben Interactive, who does the WRC games. So visually, it should be quite... And actually, having said that, the screenshots I've seen, one of the trailers, which... Well, without being rude, the trailer reminded me of old sort of CG trailers used to go on, like Toka 2, but all the same, I think it might have been too much use of sepia. But as a title, they're promising the most accurate version of the Mountain TT course ever created, and official licenses to recreate many of the bikes and riders of the legendary event. So that should be quite cool. It'd be pretty interesting if they have the... because they do an electric bike TT race now, have done for a good few years. So it'd be quite interesting to see if some of those cars appear in it as well as just the normal petrol ones. But
here's a question: will they include James May's Meccanico or Meccano bike?
The Meccano bike. I somehow doubt it.
Yes,
sadly.
The American knows about that show.
sadly, no.
We have
doubt,
it on Hulu.
I doubt. I doubt they would. You need to watch the reassembler. That's even more.
Oh yeah, I've managed
like
to find
time
ways of watching that.
It's like spending time watching my granddad mend things, except for on television. It's amazing the sort of things you watch late at night when you're in a hotel room with nothing else to do. It's a very cool trailer. And again, the game comes out in March. So if you're a two wheel fan and you're not getting your fill from MotoGP at the moment, obviously we're out of season, and the game's been out a long time. then do check out the Isle of Man. I don't know. Nothing I've seen says that it's using the new engine that they promised for the MotoGP titles. But who knows? So, yes, so the TT. And I also believe, I don't think it's out yet, but I am aware that... there are some new cars incoming for GT Sport as well. But it's one of those lovely things where they just put them in a shadow and you can't really work out what they are. But hey-ho, so if anybody knows or has any educated guesses to what cars are coming to Gran Turismo Sport in the near future, do let us know. Because we do like Gran Turismo Sport, actually.
And that was
the news. Let's talk, because also tonight is the first round of American Iron.
Yes, American Iron. It's always a good series.
Yes. So very best of luck to everyone who's participating in that.
Remember that's a UK and a US time zone series. So there's technically two American Irons running at the same time, just in different time zones. That's always fun.
I'm just trying to get my hands on just to see how many. Should be at least 17 drivers signed up for the UK series, which is not bad. That's pretty good. I know Mikey was happy with the numbers. Of course, this is the grassroots of grassroots racing. So if you're new to the competitive sim racing environment and you want to sort of learn the ropes and get to know the sort of standards and the type of people you're going to be racing against in other series, things like American Iron.
Good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm trying to think what else we have coming on along that.
We also have, just kind of a step up would be TASCAR coming up, starting with, of course, the Daytona 350, not quite a 500, on February 17th.
There's also a club racer on Thursdays as well.
Coming up later on.
Yeah, that's in May time, so a good little while to wait before we crack on with that one. But yes, there's some good series to get your teeth into if you're new to sim racing. Not saying obviously necessarily new to Toro, because you could be new to Toro and still be an amazing driver, but... yes, so that'll be very cool. So very best of luck to everyone who's participating in that in the UK, in the UK time zone and the US time zones this evening. Speaking of US time zones, dear Ben, we should probably talk about last weekend's rather epic opening salvo from Toro 2018, the Daytona 24.
Yes, Daytona. Pretty much my...
Your baby.
My baby. I would literally go to work for 8 hours and then come home and then work on Daytona preparations for about 4 hours. And I did this for about 2 weeks.
Welcome to the wonderful world of sim race organization.
Yes. And I still managed to miss a couple of things. But we'll talk more about that later. Yes. 24 Hours of Daytona 2018 was, I think, a pretty good success. There was, of course, some drama involved, but what large endurance racing is not going to have that. I don't think that, well, there were a couple obvious people who were probably going to win this race. I don't think it turned out quite like how everyone expected. There's a lot of battling, a lot of lagging out. Unfortunately, during the race, there was a lot of teams taking a step up and really challenging to some of the biggest like esports names in the Forza community right now. So I think it turned out rather well. The results for the race, and this is, of course, pending official steward inquiry finishing up later this week, hopefully, if not by the time that we are done with the show. The BAM Esports car, a Ford Riley DP number 831, came home in first overall with a total distance of 2,710 miles. Behind them was the FRH Motorsport car, a Corvette DP number 154, which came home with 2,707 miles, so only 3 miles ahead. And a couple miles back from them was the Visceral Racing SGR for Riley DP number 241, came back in third. In the GT class was the Riffleman Racing featuring America Dodge Viper number 999, which covered a impressive 2,464 miles. Not quite 30 miles back from them was the Virtual Drivers number 636 Porsche 911, which covered 2,439 miles. Behind them was the XRS Racing Porsche 911 number 375, which finished off with 28 miles.
And kudos to YMTV, who was the highest placed BMW. Their M6 number 614, finishing in fourth place, just off the podium. Mm-hmm. So with hardly any time with the car, which is absolutely fantastic, really. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. Really good to see, actually, that I think we kind of knew that the Porsche was going to be picked a lot because it was the new car until a few days before the race.
I think by the time the race came around, we had 11 or 12 Porsches signed up in the GT class, something like that.
Close. But also, you know, the old favourites, the Chevys, were still there. Viper, obviously, taking the class victory. Mm-hmm. Also, the Ford seemingly dropping away from favorite position, which is
the AMS and JSR Fords had some various issues throughout the night, with one of the drivers actually sleeping in the JSR car, and the Apollo Ford, the AMS Apollo 2 Ford, lagging out somewhere around. Stint 11. So,
but also the fact that there's less of them in the race. I think there was literally only two, maybe three.
Mm-hmm. There were two Fords, and they actually put both those Fords on first and second on the grid. They just
fast but brittle.
Yes, as was the original Ford GT absolutely.
And kudos to Demonic Rebels Racing, who were the sole, well, one of two, actually, I do apologize, Solaris Motorsport as well, the only two teams to utilize the Ferrari 458, the aging Ferrari 458. Hopefully we'll see the 488 GTE car come into Forza at some point in the near future to replace that car now. Because I think what we're seeing, we are actually seeing the sea change in class now with the likes of the 911 RSR, the M6, the Ford, kind of the Chevy just about very much overtaking the older cars.
Yeah, the Chevy is an interesting prospect of a GT car just because in this class it's, how can I put it? It has good acceleration, has good straight line speed, has good handling, but it doesn't have great acceleration, great handling, and great straight line speed. So it's still a threat, but it's not.
Well, let's also forget forget that visually, the C7R, on real racetracks, hasn't really changed that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, we're not talking a brand new car like brand new car. Obviously, the M6 has been replaced now, but it's not a car of the current ilk like the M6, the Porsche, that sort of thing. It almost falls into the same category as the Vantage, albeit that's not in game, where it's sort of been heavily modified to maintain its performance against such newer opposition, albeit I would say harshly, but not quite as successfully, perhaps. Maybe I don't know for certain, but maybe the replacement car will be the mid-engine one that they keep talking about, which I think is in development. Because that would
throw an interesting thing into the mix.
From a DP standpoint, I think we're all sort of very much hoping that.
With
Turn 10's partnership with IMSA, we'll see the DPI cars arrive in the not too distant future. Probably just as the ASCC finishes.
Probably. or probably another case where it shows up the week of the race.
But if that happens, then we'll do what the ACO won't do, and we'll let the DPIs race at Le Mans. Sorry,
your move.
I don't miss you.
Anyway, getting back to Daytona, I hope everyone really enjoyed the race. It has been a labor of love for us here at Tora. And I just want to thank the guys, the Tora staff, for putting up with my pointing and angrily shouting at them to do things.
We don't use the word nagging.
Well,
there was nagging.
I wouldn't say it was nagging. It was just, you know, gentle reminders so that I don't have to do all the work.
Consistent gentle reminders.
Yes.
Nagging. oh dear. But no, you're absolutely right. I think it's one of those events that we've grown to. And it's the third one we've done now.
Third one.
And it really does kick the season off really well. It's the first one, and we can say this quite honestly, it's the first one that we've done that there hasn't been some kind of
major malfunction.
Yeah, or just unpleasant backlash for reasons, which is really, really good. So, I mean, hopefully that's a portent of how the rest of the year goes.
This one was without its own unpleasant backlash. A couple of the GT teams were not happy about the no pit stop rule. Obviously, the Whipman Racing actually played that rule for everything it was worth, because the Viper could easily handle one stop per stint, while some of the other cars, like the Corvette and the Ferrari, and to some extent the Porsche, had to work to do a one stop. So that really assisted their taking the win of the race, was being able to do that. One pit
stop.
That
being said, they didn't win by much in the end, so.
Well, that's still a very considerable margin, 264 miles compared, 2,464 miles compared to 2,438 miles. That's, what, 26 miles, something like that?
Yeah, no, fair. It was a couple of laps.
Yeah, it's a couple of laps there.
But, you know, these things, particularly, you know, it is the first enduro we've done on Forza 7.
I'm pretty sure it's the first enduro to be done on Forza 7.
Answer on the postcard, just in case anyone else has done one.
I'm fairly certain that's the case. Yeah. I could be wrong, but...
But no, massive congratulations to everyone who took part. I think it's it certainly sounds like it was an extremely good event.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange for me not to be. This is the first year I've kind of not really been involved in it at all. Felt very odd, but no, it looks fantastic, and I think the rest of the ASCC is going to be a very very strong, very yep. strong series.
Yep, ASCC season starts properly on February 11th at Homestead Alternate. Homestead full alternate track, just so it's the version of Homestead that has NASCAR turn 3 and 4. So it's a very similar track to Daytona, but we're a couple hours worth of stuff. I can't remember right now.
Okay, so that was Daytona. That was lots of and really this is the last, well, this is the only month where we can sort of kick back and relax, so please do think of us slogging away over the next few months, particularly in the summer, as we try to get all these series organized and run. And of course, a big thank you to the community, because we have to remember that this is a community, and anyone who is a
community event through and through. There's a lot of people who weren't tour staff that were helping me throughout the night, especially when I passed out at like midnight after my first stint.
But that's what it's all about. You see, you know, this is a community, it's a community effort. So, you know, we all want these events to succeed. We all want to enjoy them. So the more people who are willing to sort of step up to the plate a bit and give and, you know, help out and all that is always massively appreciated. And we do thank you for it. Anyway, we must move on now to our good friend, Mr. Lewis Satterley, from what I gather is not a very warm Cocoa Beach, not far from Daytona, who has a very special tribute test track for us right now.
One man, one track, plenty of noise. Torah Test Track with Lewis Satterley.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Torah Test Track on the Torah Radio Show on RadioLamont.com. Unfortunately, we're going to do this test track with a heavy heart. I know I promised you with a Lola T70 Mark Donohue Daytona winner. But unfortunately, in the last week, we found out that Dan Gurney has passed away. So this test track is going to be a very special one, filled with a lot of stuff that people tend to like. We're going to feature four of Dan's cars, or that he drove or manufactured across four different circuits. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into it. It's all going to be silent laps here on this one. And this is all dedicated to Dan and obviously his family, his wonderful wife, Evie, and his two sons, Justin, who still operates AAR, who are doing wonderful things with SpaceX, with the space program, and Alex Gurney as well, who many know from IMSA fam with Gaines Co. Bob Stallings Racing. So we're going to go ahead and start our very first track right here at Lasarth in the Ford GT40 Mark IV, no chicanes.
Thank you. go Westlake T1G at Spa-Francorchamps.
CUDA Trans Am and Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca.
Thank you.
AAR Toyota Mark III, Watkins Glen International.
And thank you, Lewis, for that. I think, you know, iconic cars with an iconic driver, Dan Gurney, who we lost just the other week. So thank you, Lewis, for that one. Ben, thank you very much for joining me for the first, a bit of a patchy show this month. I think it's safe to say, because, you know, we're still scraping the ice off the cars and or flushing.
I'm still recovering from Daytona.
Yeah, that too. And Christmas and all the rest of it. Next month we'll be firing on all cylinders as the season proper gets well underway. There'll be lots of news coming. Hopefully we'll have some exciting, more real racing news for you as well, as we start to get towards media days for real events, which is going to be really fun, especially for me as I don't have a car at the moment. I shall have to hire a helicopter or something. Yes, I think that'll go down well. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening this month. Happy New Year once again, and we wish you all the very best for 2018. We will see you next same tour time, same RSL channel. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.